quick. We're going to have a very abbreviated shiur today because I have to leave in like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So let's get started at least. We'll get rolling in the sugya of Neman Alai Abba. Again, just the lay of the land over here is Neman Alai Abba is this sugya that goes until the Mishnah Chavdal and Beis, and then we get into Psulei Edus. Psulei Edus is where we get into gambling and all the really fun stuff that you're looking forward to. But Neman Alai Abba also has some fascinating lamdas, some fascinating issues involved in the lamdas. So let's see the Mishnah. Amrlo, Neman Alai Abba, Neman Alai Avicha, Neman Alai Shlosh Roy Bakar. So if a person says, I'm going to trust my father, your father, or Shlosh Roy Bakar, so Meir Omer Yochel Achsebo, V'chamer Meir Yochel Achsebo. Meir says you could back out of that acceptance. The Chum say you cannot back out of that acceptance. First kasha you got to ask yourself is, Neman Alai for what? I believe Abba Avicha to do what in this case? So what are you tying up? So Zakt Rashi, Lihios Dayan. That it's not for Edus over here. We're talking about Dayanus. That it's Neman Alai Abba to be a Dayan. Where does Rashi get the idea that it's necessarily about being a Dayan? So if you look at Rashi on Chav Gimel Amar Aleph, first time the Gemara quoted this concept of Neman Alai Abba, so Rashi writes, Neman Alai Bidayanin Kamari Midiktani Gimel Roy Bakar. How do I know it's talking about Dayanim? Who's in the Mishnah on the list of things that we're neman for? That we say who's believed? We say Abba Avicha and Gimel Roi Bakar, Shlosha Roi Bakar. If we're talking about Edim, why three? If we're talking about Edim, it would be two Roi Bakar. So it sounds like that we're talking about Dayanim from the fact that it gives the example of Shlosha Roi Bakar. That is Shitas Rashi, and it seems that it's Muchrach based on the fact that it says three. Now, if you look at the Bar Tanura in his commentary on the Mishnah, the Bar Tanura writes another hechrech, another reason why it's got to be Dayanim and not Edim. It's in the Mar Makomos pack that I gave out today. I forgot to number the Mar Makomos, but it's the first one. So Ne'emanim Alai Shlosha Roi Bakar says the Bar Tanura Lodun. We're talking about being a Dayan. De'ilu le'edus Roi Bakar k'sherim hein. Can't be talking about being an aid because there's nothing wrong with Roi Bakar. So the hechrech from Shlosha Roi Bakar is not just the number. It's not just the fact that there are three, and that's how I know that we're talking about Dayanim. It's the fact that we're saying Roi Bakar would otherwise be pasul. By Eidos, Roi Bakar are always kosher. There's nothing about them that's pasul. So by saying Nemanim Alai Shlosha Roi Bakar, it must be that we're talking about Dayanim and not Eidos. Because anyway, Shlosha Roi Bakar are Neman for Eidos. Now, interestingly, if you look at the Tos Yantif on the Mishnah, second Mar Makom, Tos Yantif writes, Roi Bakar, Hu Adin Kol Beit Lasa Delog Miridina. Roi Bakar means anyone who doesn't know what they're talking about. Any three people who don't know Halachos, who don't know Din, who don't know Chosh Mishpat, Psul and all Pasul. Ulrabusa Nakat Roi Bakar, Velo Shchichi Bi Yishuv, Velo Ra'u Velo Shamu, Aski Din Ben Ada, Velo Shamu Iske Din Ben Adam L'Chavero. We only say Roi Bakar as an extra Chiddush, that they're not really around B'Yishuv at all. They don't know anything about Iske Din, Lo Shamu Iske Din. They don't know anything about how Mammon works and how people do transactions with money at all. We're going to see soon in the next Mishnah the concept of Eino Osik B'Yishuvo Shalovim. There are people who are just thoroughly unfamiliar with how money works, how transactions work. We're going to say that in the context of gambling. That one of the issues of gambling is that a gambler, you know, say he wins a million today, loses a half a million tomorrow. It comes and goes so easily that he has no idea what it means to spend money and to do transactions with the money. He has no concept of what it means. So that's the chiddush of Shlosha Roi Bakar. They're not stam people who don't know anything. They don't even know, not only do they not know Chosh Mishpat, but they don't even know the value of money. They don't know how it works. It's interesting, in today's daf, in Chulin daf Pei Dalid, the Gemara gave some advice, or some agarit to Gemara, about healthy living. So one of the things the Gemara says is that when you eat, you should eat less than you could afford to eat. Meaning, just because you could afford to eat constantly doesn't mean you should eat constantly. A person should eat less than their means. When you dress, you should dress according to your means. And when you dress your wife and children, you should dress above your means. You should get them things that are above your means. But then it goes on to say that if you inherit a lot of money from your father and you want to throw it all away and waste it all, so you should buy expensive crystals, which which will always break, and then you'll need to replace them. That will be a lot of money down the drain. You should hire workers and not oversee the work that they do. That will be a good way to get rid of a lot of money, because they're not going to do anything. You're not going to make any money. And it gives another one. I forgot exactly what the third one is. But it gives advice about how to throw away all your money. So Rashi says, when it's saying, like, don't do these things. You know, it couches in the form of advice if you're interested in throwing away all your money. But Rashi over there says, why does the Dafka say if you inherit money from your father and you want to throw it all away? Why not just say, if you have a lot of money and you want to throw all your money away, this is what you should do. Why Dafka inherit money from your father? So Rashi says, because if you didn't make the money, that's when you're going to throw it all away. People who make their own money typically don't throw it all away, because they understand the work that it took to make the money and the value of having money. When you inherit from the father, so easy come, easy go. So people are going to be more willing to throw it all away. So that's the Roy Bucket. The Roy Bucket, they have no idea. They have no idea what it means, making money, not making money. They don't deal with money. They deal with sheep. They deal with cattle. They don't deal with money. Not sheep, cattle, Bucker, right? They deal with cattle. They're not involved in money. But then, says the Tos Yantif, Gemara Sof Tav Chav Hei, Vafilu Le'edus Nami Paslin Rabbanon, that not only are Roy Bakar Pasul Adin, they're also Pasul Le'edus. So interesting, no? The Bar Tanura says, what are we talking about when we say Neman Alay Abba Avicha Shlosh Roy Bakar must be Dayanus? Because you don't need to say Neman Alay Shlosh Roy Bakar for Edus. Anyway, Shlosh Roy Bakar are believed for Edus. Says Tos Yantif, no, they're not. The Gemara is going to say later on, Daf Kafei, that we don't believe Roy Bakar for Eidus. The Gemara says, Kafei Amudvei, is toward the bottom. It says that they used to believe Roy Bakar for Eidus, but then they realized that Roy may karas over a kray balma. They used to think it was just once in a while you'll have a dishonest shepherd who will let his Bakar go into someone else's field and take and graze from their stuff. It used to be that they would think that it was only once in a while. Once they saw that, no, this is like, you know, that's like part of the business, that's what they do, they steal from other people, then they said, you know what, Roy Bakar can't be Edom at all. So Tos Yantif says, it's a befirsh in the Gemara, the Roy Bakar can't be Edom. So why would you say a Mishnah, Bar Tanura says, a Mishnah can't be talking about Roy Bakar, because Roy Bakar are kasher leidus anyway. Well, the Bar Tanura didn't know the Gemara. The Gemara says, befirsh in Afkafei, the Roy Bakar are pasul leidus, they're not kasher leidus. So it could be that our Mishnah is talking about Eidus, and we're saying, you're mekabel upon yourself, Roy Bakar, who are normally Pasul. Very strange that the Bar Tanura says that the Mishnah can't be talking about Eidus, because Roy Bakar are kosher anyway. It's a fairish Gemara that they're Pasul. So what you have to say is that the Gemara refers to a specific point in time when they made a Gzeira, that Roy Bakar are no longer going to be acceptable. The Bar Tanura must have understood that point in time came after the Chasimus HaMishnah. And after the Mishnayos were written, that's when they first passed Roy Bakar. Prior, when the Mishnah was actually being written, Roy Bakar were still kasher le'edus. They were still assuming that Roy Bakar typically don't steal. So when they were still kasher le'edus, that's when the Mishnah says, okay, you can be mekabel them as what? What do you mean? As edim, they're already kasher. So you can be mekabel them as dayanim. Whereas Tos Yantif must have understood that this gezerah that the Gemara refers to in Chafei Ambeis, Takana that the Gemara refers to in Chafei Ambeis, must have been even before the Chasimus HaMishnah, and when the Mishnayos were writing, it was assuming already that this takana was in place, that Roy Bakar are pasul le'edus. And in fact, the Rambam, when he quotes, this is all, the whole machlokas is a machlokas in what the Mishnah is specifically talking about, but it's not a machlokas in halacha, meaning if you're neman to say that you makabel shlosha Roy Bakar for Dayanus, so you make a neman about Eidus as well. So the question is, the Mishnah also talking about Eidus? But everyone would agree in Halacha that it applies both for Dayanus and for Eidus, and that's Muchach in the Gemara that way. So if you look in the Rambam, in Sanhedrin, Hilch Sanhedrin, Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, in the third Maramakom, in your sheet, the Rambam writes, Misha Kibel of Karov Apostle, Bein Li Yoso Dayan, Bein Li Yoso Eid Alav, you accept the Karov Apostle, whether it's to be a Dayan or whether it's to be an Eid, Afilu kibel echad min apsulim ba'avera kishnei edim ksherim lehedalav o kishlosha beizimim chladim lo, etc., etc. So it goes, gives, but the whole point is that the Rambam quotes this halacha both in regards to Dayan and in regards to Eid. Doesn't mean the Rambam explained the Mishnah that way, just means that it's a davar pashut that it would apply equally to both Dayanus and Eidus. That's what the Sma points out in Shulchan Aruch. That even though Rashi says that we're talking about Kibbalah Dayan, but Vaday Lav Dafka Ka'amar, says the Sma. It's not Lav Dafka about a Dayan, who had in La Eid Mahani Kabbalah's Karav Apostle. For Eidus also it helps to be Makabal Karav or Apostle. O Kapashus Lishna Neman Alai. Neman Alai, why would you want to say that it's about Eidus? The word Neman, who do you have to believe more? Dayanim, it's not about believing, it's about trusting. There's a big difference. An aid is reporting what he saw. For Edom, it's always about ne'emanus. For Dayanim, it's not about ne'emanus. It's not about whether you believe them. It's whether you trust their judgment. Right? Whether you think that their judgment is accurate. So the fact that it says ne'eman alay abba, ne'eman alay avicha, gives you the indication that it's more about edus. But then the example of Shlosh Roy Bakr gives you the impression that it's more about Dayanus. So that's the friction that the Rishonim are dealing with. But bottom line is, it doesn't make a difference. This whole discussion doesn't matter, because of course, you know, if you hold that you can't be chazer for one, you can't be chazer for the other one either. Dayanus and Edus are both covered by the halach and the Mishnah. Okay, then the Mishnah gives another example. Hayichayev lechaver shvua. Let's say you're chayiv a shvua, and the guy says, "Vamalo darli b'chayiv roshcha." You don't have to give a real shvua. Just say, I promise for real. You know, something like that. You don't have to give a real shvua. So that acceptance of less than a real shvua, Rameir Amiyachal Achzvah. Rameir says that acceptance is not binding. If the person then changes his mind and says, "You know what? Give me a real shvua. I want you to really swear that." We'll see in the Gemara whether it's that you don't owe me the money or that I do owe you the money, whatever it is. But whatever it is, I want a real shvua. So the Rameir says you can back out on that. V'chavim say it's too late. You can't back out on that. The number one question we're going to have to deal with, and what the whole sugi really revolves around, is by what mechanism would this be binding? Meaning, let's say I go into a store. Someone asks me, can they go shopping around on 47th Street or 42nd Street, wherever it is, for engagement rings? Not going to reveal who asked, but someone asked about going shopping around for engagement rings. So the minig is that everyone has an uncle, a cousin, a friend who works in diamonds, and you go to the stores in Manhattan to look for the kind of ring that you think your kala would want, or that she tells you. You don't think anything. You start thinking it's a bad start to the marriage. So she tells you what she wants. She picks out exactly what she likes. And you look at everything, she tries them all on her finger, and then you say thank you very much to the storekeeper, and you go you call your uncle and say, okay, this is what she wants, and he gets it for you for a quarter of the price that they were going to charge you in the store. Okay, that's the minhag. So what if you feel bad about that, and you tell, so the question was, is it Gnevus Das, whatever, let's leave that shaila out for now, nothing to do with our sugya. What if you go into the store, you feel bad, you know, telling them that I'm just looking, and I'm not really, I have no intention to buy from you, so you tell them is, all right, I'll be back tomorrow to buy it. And then you're never going to see them again in your life. So it's easy to say, I'll be back tomorrow to buy it. Are you mechuyev to buy it? Is there any binding kinyan if you say, I'm going to buy this tomorrow? A promise to do something later? Okay, it's a violation of midvar sheker tirchak. You're not a good guy. It's not a night. But there's nothing binding in dini mamonos. If the guy were to take you to a beis din and sue you for the money that you owe him, for the ring that you didn't yet buy from him, but you said he absolutely would lose the dini mamonos case. You're a bad guy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with you for lying like that, but you're absolutely going to lose the dini mamonos case. Just by saying I want to do something, so it becomes binding? So the very shita that Einu Yochel Lachzor Bo, that the Chacham have, that you can't back out of this, what did I do already? I said, I'm going to believe these Dayanim, that if they say I have to pay, then I will pay. That's not a kinyan. Kinyan is that we do some sort of Maisa Kinyan. I just say that, yeah, I will pay tomorrow. What does that have to do with anything? So there are basically three approaches in the Rishonim to that question, but that and a lot of Nafkaminas. But that question is like the primary question we need to ask. The Gemara begins to address it at the very beginning. The Gemara writes, right at the beginning, Amar Abdimi, Breder of Nachum, Breder of Yosef, Kigon de Kiblei Alei Bechad. First of all, we're talking about a case. Well, not at the very beginning. The Gemara will address it in the third line, but let's just read this line first. Where you mekabel them as one aid. Meaning when I say, or one dayan, when I say I'm mekabel your father as a dayan, doesn't mean that I'm mekabel your father as all of the dayanim on the Beis Din. It means I'm mekabel him as a dayan on the Beis Din. Which implies, if you're mekabel him as all the dayanim on the Beis Din, then what? If I say I'm mekabel him as all the dayanim on the Beis Din, Gemara just says, oh, the example of the Mishnah is where your Mekabalim is one of the Dayanim. Okay, and if the example of the Mishnah were where your Mekabalim is all of the Dayanim, so then what? Then what would the halacha be? So that itself is a major machlokes Rishonim. We'll come back to that in a second. We'll see. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shmuel, machlokes b'machla. Here's a key line. Right, so we'll leave that first line out for a second. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shmuel, addressing the issue we were discussing before, Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shmuel, machlokes b'machlach. Aval be'etein lach divrei kol yochel lachsebo. When do you have a machlokas, whether it's binding or not binding, the acceptance of Abba Vavich of the Pasul Adayin slash Eid? Whether it's binding or not binding, that's only if you are the one looking for money, you are the one being toveya money from somebody else, and you say, I accept this Pasul Adayin, and should they tell you that you are pater, I am mochel that money. They don't have the authority to tell you you're pater because they're pasul. But should they tell you that you're pater, I'm mochel, so it works for me din mechila. That's where you have a machlokas, whether it's binding. But be'etein lach, let's say I'm the one who's being sued, and I say, I accept this pasul dayan, and should they tell me that I have to pay, I will give it to you? Well then, divrei hakol, everyone would say that's absolutely unbinding. Now, why does this help us solve our issue? A kinyan doesn't work with words alone. Right? Just saying, I will do. That's not a kinyan. But mechila does work with words alone. Let's say you owe me $100 and I tell you today on Sunday, I'm mochel, you don't owe me the $100 anymore. And then tomorrow I come to you and I say, hey, give me the $100. Do you have to pay me anymore? Once I did the mechila, even though we didn't do a kinyan, it's purely verbal, mechila works purely verbally. So you understand very well why machulach, you understand why when it's an issue of not having to pay what money I'm already holding on to, where it works me din mechila, that you're not going to need any more than words, that it will be binding with words alone. You could hear such a shita of the Chachamim. But etelach, I will give you, says Rabbi Yochanan, there's no one that would hold that's binding. That's ridiculous. How could that be binding? I will give you. That's not binding at all. That's Rabbi Yochanan's shita. If that was the only shita, it would be pretty good. Problem is, says the Gemara, I'm sorry, that was not Rabbi Yochanan, that was Rabbi Yehuda's shita. And Rabbi Yochanan says, be'etin lach machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the machlokas is be'etin lach. That the whole machlokas between a mayor and the chachamim, whether it's binding or not, is when I say I will give something. If the whole machlokas is be'etin lach, well then you have to ask yourself, why does that work? Why, according to the Chachamim, does a promise to do something in the future? Why is that binding? So we're back to our original question. I mean, if the whole machlokas is only by machalach, so good, we have no problems. Mechila can work, just verbally. But if there's someone that holds that by even by etenach, where I'm telling you that if this dayan says that I'm chayiv, I will give it to you, that statement is binding, well then we have to ask, what makes it binding? Words don't make a kinyan. So why is that binding? So that's where we're going to run into trouble. Then the Gemara just asks for clarification within Rabbi Yochanan's opinion when he says that the machlokas v'yatein lach doesn't mean only v'yatein lach or both v'yatein lach and machalach. Fine. So it tries to prove it from Rava and then says, no, there are three logical possibilities of what this machlokas could be about. Either only by machalach, but v'yatein lach, everyone agrees that yachalach sebo, or it's only v'yatein lach, but by machalach, everyone agrees ain't yachalach sebo. Or bein bezu machlokas, right? Rava's shita is the second one, and Rabbi Yochanan might be the third one, that it's machlokas by both etelach and machalach. Fine, so we have three logical possibilities, possibly three amoraim that hold all three logical possibilities. But the fundamental question we're going to have to grapple with as we go through the sugya is, where's the kinyan? How does that work? Before we get to that fundamental question, I want to deal with a more minor question. And that's from the first line that I mentioned before, the very first line of the Gemara. That, what did the Gemara say? That the whole case in the Mishnah is where you're makabel Abba Vavicha as chad, in place of one judge. Not that you makabel them in place of three judges. So what does that tell you? If I was makabel them in the place of three judges, would you say, what would that mean? So Pashup Shat, what would you say? A makabel b'chad is when there's a machlokas. If I makabel them as three judges, then what? Ujitaina? What? Then it shouldn't work at all. Now, how do you say it doesn't work? Doesn't work meaning everyone would agree yochel lachserbo, or it doesn't even work to begin with, right? So you have room to discuss that issue. It would just mean that it's not a machlokas, or that it doesn't work to begin with. Okay, let's see. So says Rashi, the kibbul yalei b'chad, chadayana, v'af l'gav dika treyach rini b'adei, omer Reb Meir yochel lachserbo. So Rashi says, no, don't make the yukim over here. Don't make a deal, if it were three, then everyone would agree. No. the whole chiddush is within Rav Meir's sheet, that we're trying to say that even Rabbi Meir, who thinks that you're allowed to back out when you were makabel somebody, even if it's a case where you're only makabel him as one of your judges, you're still allowed to back out. Where the Kabbalah wasn't such a great chiddush, you weren't makabel something outlandish like one judge should be in place of three judges. You were just makabel that one of your judges should be Abba or Avicha. Even then Rabbi Meir would say that you're allowed to back out. Clear implication of Rashi is, if you accept one as three, you accept Abba as all three judges, the Chacham would still say you're not allowed to back out, and Rabbi Meir would still say you are allowed to back out. We wanted to give a case where Rabbi Meir is a bigger chiddush. So we give a case where it's one in place of one judge, not one in place of three. But it's not going to change the sheet of the Chacham from one case to the other. That's Rashi's Shita. Pasha Pshat, not the way we just read the Gemara, it's not Pasha Pshat. So it says Tosfos, Pirusha Kuntras, Tafilu Hachi Kamar Meir Diachal Achsebo, Velo Nehira. No, it can't be. Tikivins of the Rabusa Nakte, Havale the Memar Lotzricha. What does the Gemara say? Amr of Din Brenner Nachmer Rebels, Kigon. The case of Rav Mishnah is Kigon, where you accept him in place of one of the Dayanim. If you want to tell me that the case of the Mishnah could be where you accept him as one, where you accept him as three, but it's a bigger chiddush within Rav Meir to say that it's talking about even the case where you accept him as one, it should be lo tzricha afilu im kibla elei b'chad. Kigon implies in this case and in only this case is there a machlokas. Rashi says no, the machlokas would be in both cases, both when you accept him as one and when you accept him as three. So if we want to tell me the bigger chiddush within Shitas Rav Meir. So the big chiddush in Shitas Rav Meir is to say that it's talking about where you accept him as one. Tosfos says no. When it says kigon, it means this is the only case that they argue about when you accept him as one. If you accept him as three, then there would be no machlokas. So he says the dafka and the major chiddush over here is within the sheet of the Rabbanan, that only if you accept him as one dayan, that's when the Rabbanan say you're locked in and you can't back out. But if you accept Abba or Avicha as three Dayanim, you're not locked in even according to the Rabbanan. Everyone would agree you could back out. Even the Rabbanan would say you're not locked in, which is what you said before. Right? That's the Pasha Diyuk to make. Yeah?
I think it also makes more sense when you say Gimel Rei Bakar, because you could have just said one Rei Bakar if it was going
with the Gimel Rei Bakar is a very, very strong indicator over here. We're going to discuss that. Now, what's the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about? What's the difference if I accept Abba as one Dayan or accept Abba as three Dayan? Either way, my Bezim is possible. No?
Other kosher Dayan.
So you have other kosher Dayan. And therefore what? The integrity of the Bezim is less compromised? Meaning, I still have one really bad Dayan, one really possible Dayan.
But they cannot vote him.
Okay, so his say might not matter in the end of the day. It might, yes, matter because he might be the deciding vote, but it might not matter. Okay, yeah?
Theoretically kosher for another.
Okay. Good. The only thing is, over here they're not. So the way the Rishonim play around with this is as follows. They say that there's a question of Chadal L'Reyesa versus Tarti L'Reyesa. How many problems are there? When there's only one problem on the Beis Din, that's where the Chachamim are going to say you're locked in. You have the right to accept a single problem on your head and say, okay, that's going to be a good enough basin for me. And once you make that acceptance, you can't go back. But when it's Tarti L'Reyesa, when there are two problems, not only is it problematic because it's my father, it's also problematic because I'm counting one person as three, so it's two distinct problems. Well, then my acceptance doesn't mean all that much. Now, to talk intelligently about that, why that should be the case, we would probably first need to understand why my acceptance means anything at all, which is the other kasha I said we have to deal with. Why are you locked in? Where is the kinyan? So these are the issues we need to discuss. We just set up the sugya today. In terms of this Rashi and Tosos, so the extra packet I gave you today afterwards, the Tosos and the and Rabbi Kiv Eger, that deals with that issue. Okay, I got to go. I apologize that I have to leave so early. Thank you.